Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here you go, buddy. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 27. I want to talk about a very interesting thing tonight that is applicable for those of us who are Christians. It is something for those who are in Christ. I want you to notice here what Paul does, this masterpiece, if you will, of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is using the idea of a body in describing how the church works. I just want you to pause and think about how wonderful of an idea that is, because everybody that Christ is writing to has a body. And so everybody that he's writing to can easily understand the topic at hand of how the body has different members. They're not all hands. They're not all eyes. They're not all ears. Each one has its own role. And in doing so, we as members of the church each have our own role as well. So notice here as he closes out this idea in verse 27. Now you're members, you are the body of Christ. And members in particular. I want to think about that idea of being members of the body of Christ. I want to talk about being together with Christ. That is a blessing that only Christians find. It is not found in the world. Now, there are a lot of people in the world who offer you a false sense of hope. And they'll say, well, I'm a Christian. But they don't do the Bible thing in Bible ways. They weren't saved the Bible way. They had a warm, fuzzy feeling. And so they called themselves saved. It might have been indigestion. But nonetheless, they think they're saved. God tells us we can know that we've been saved. And one of the ways is you know you're together in Christ. I want to look at two different books that Paul used. And one of them is where Dwayne read from tonight, Ephesians chapter 2. I've got seven quick things about being together with Christ. They're not laborious. We won't spend any time, too much time on any of them at all. I want us to notice here, beginning in verse number 5, and we were dead in sins. Christ hath quickened us together. Quickened to be made alive again. He's already used the word quicken in verse 1. He says, you were dead, verse 1, and now he has made you alive. Number 1, when we are in Christ, we are alive. We have life. I find it interesting that if you trim your fingernails and you cut it too quick, you cut it to the quick, right? That's where the life of the nail is. Well, that's here what he's saying. You were dead in sin. He has made you alive with Christ. Now, notice that parenthetical statement. By grace you were saved. He continues that thought in verse 8. Not through faith, but also by works. Lest any man should boast. So we have been made alive, number 1, in Christ. Keep going in verse number 6. And hath raised us up together. See, we're together in Christ. Not only are we made alive, but he raised us up out of that lost land of sin. If you want to literally think about it, you were raised up out of that watery grave of baptism. You were raised together with Christ. That's number 2. Keep going. Number 3, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ or in Christ Jesus, your key phrase in the book of Ephesians, because Paul's writing to people who used to worship Diana, great, or Artemis, as she was called in the secular world, but Diana, a great goddess. They had a Parthenon-like building, and they worshiped her. And so Paul is writing to people who grew up in worshiping idols, and his whole point of the book is now that you're in Christ, look what happens. So number 2, he raised us up, but number 3, we're made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but usually when we go out to eat, I sit with people that I know. Very rarely do I just go find an empty seat and just go sit down with strangers. Not that it probably wouldn't be good conversation, but I don't have anything in common with them. They don't know me from Adam. You sit with people that you love. Well, here he has made us to sit together in heavenly places, in heaven, together in Christ. So already we've been alive, made alive, we've raised up. And we have been seated. Now, the other letter I want us to go to is the book of Romans. And that's where we'll find our last four. Romans, look in chapter 6. We'll begin there. Romans chapter 6. Together with Christ, what do we learn? Well, let's go to chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. We have been crucified with Christ. Notice this here. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Oh, what do you mean, Paul? Go back to verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not? So many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should rise up. He rises up together in Christ. We should rise to walk in newness of life. All right, now what, Paul? If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, i.e., if we've been baptized, we are in Christ together with him, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We are crucified, knowing verse 6 this, that our old body is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. You know, Paul also says to mortify the deeds of the body, put to death, literally a violent death, to kill off sin in the body. Well, here he says our old body is crucified with him. You think about it, as you obey the gospel, maybe you did it during a worship service, or you met up at the building afterwards, or maybe you did it at a creek, or even in a hot tub. It doesn't matter where you do it, just as long as you obey the gospel. You walk down that aisle, an old person, full of sin, and they buried you in that grave. And then they didn't take the old person back out of the grave. It was a new person that came out of the grave. So number 4, we have been crucified, but keep going back to verse 4. We have been buried. See, you're going to kill it. Then we are buried with him by baptism. Now, I tell you what, I feel really bad for the people who were just sprinkled, because they weren't buried with Christ. They may have had some dirt thrown on their head, if you want to think about that metaphor that way, but they weren't buried. They didn't go down in that grave. That's why the Bible says baptism, literally to I've heard one preacher say, hold them under till they bubble. Probably not that much, but you got to go all the way under and come all the way back up. See, in Christ, you have been crucified. Let's look at our last two, and that's in Romans chapter 8.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Flip over just a chapter or two. Romans chapter 8 may be the most single confusing chapter in the book of Romans because it's misapplied. Your most confusing section is probably 9, 10, and 11 because we're not Jews, so it doesn't apply to us the way it did to the original audience. But chapter 8, people take out of context so much, they try to make the Holy Spirit do more things than God ever intended for him to do. But I want you to notice here in verse 17, what happens together with Christ? And if children, he's already called them the children of God, verse 16, then heirs. And heirs, joint heirs with Christ, that if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. With Christ we suffer. I wish I could tell you that the life of a Christian is a walk in the park on a Sunday afternoon in springtime when all the roses are blooming. Some days it is, but not every day. Because the world, those that are outside the church, literally those that are outside of our building here, but those that are out in the world, they can't fathom why you would go to church. Why you would want to do things that a book tells you to do that was written by some dead people. Now, why would I want to do that? It cramps my lifestyle. Well, I would rather follow this book here and have eternal life than live a worldly life and suffer eternal hell and condemnation. But that's just me. Apparently not everybody in the world sees it that way. He says you'll suffer with Christ. Peter says, 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffers a Christian, let him glorify the Father on this behalf. Let's look at our last thing with Christ, and it's the next verse, which may be my favorite single verse in the book of Romans, verse 18 of chapter 8. For I reckon, that's Paul, I think that means Paul was in the south. No, not really. Paul says, I have perceived it. Here's what the conclusion is. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. With Christ, we will be glorified. Paul, and you think about what Paul was going through. I mean, the Roman government would literally knock it on people's doors and saying, are you a Christian? And if you answered yes, they might take you out, throw you in the street, stone you, or worse, kill you. because that's what the government did. We don't have it then. We, you know, sometimes I feel like we've got it bad. I don't think we had it as bad as they do. We may have more persecution because we have it in different avenues. They didn't go online, but online people just attack you left and right for what you know is true or whatever the case may be. But notice again, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. But see, you got to be in Christ to endure those sufferings here to receive glory there. You don't receive glory there if you're not in Christ here. You may suffer some things here and then you die and that's it, you go to hell. So there's no glory in that. There is no joy in that at all. But only in Christ, he says, you will be glorified. So what happens? Put them in order. You're crucified with Christ, Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul says, nevertheless that I live, but Christ lives in me. You're crucified. They take you down off the cross. You're buried with him in baptism. You are alive with Christ. You rise up out of that grave. He seats you down at his table, realizing you may have to suffer, but eternal glory awaits you. That's a pretty good description of the Christian life, isn't it? We're going to sing an invitation song titled Tomorrow May Be Too Late. And I want you to really think about that. We're not promised tomorrow. I'm not scaring anybody. That's not my goal. But I do for just a moment want you to seriously consider your state. I want to make sure you go to heaven. That's our goal, right? To get yourself to heaven and take as many people with you as you can. Maybe you need to become a Christian this very evening. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, going down like we've said, and coming out a new creature. Your sins are washed away. If you haven't done that, why not do so as we sing this invitation song? If you are a Christian, we encourage you to remain faithful. And if sin has entered your life, literally separate between you and God, we encourage you to come back, be restored. We'd love to pray with you and pray for you. And then you leave in a restored relationship together with Christ. If we can help you in any way at all, whatever that need may be, we humbly ask you, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior. I'm Jeff Archie. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25, a statement connected to the raising of Lazarus from John chapter 11. The person who puts his or her obedient faith in Jesus and follows him will live even though one dies. I love this thought. Jesus is the resurrection and the life of present power and future good. Oh, how beautiful. John 5:28-29 says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Which will be your resurrection, friend? Let's think on these things. Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com. And as always, friends, thanks for taking 60 Seconds for the Savior, and have a good day.